Father, thank you so much for waking us up this morning. I thank you, God, that your spirit and your angels are here, Father. Where your people is gathered, your spirit is here, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would please forgive us for our sins. Cleanse our hearts, our minds. Prepare us to receive a word from on high this morning, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you have your Bibles, I hope you do, or your phone, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4. And I'll be reading from the King James. Are we there? Amen? No amens. When you get there, let me know by saying amen. Nobody's there. I got one amen, a whisper. Amen. There it is. There it is. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4. The Bible reads, "Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou?" Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Now I want you to take your Bibles or your phones and go with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And when you get there, you can let me know by saying amen or praise the Lord. All right, I got a couple amens, some fast finders here. Matthew chapter 8. Now look with me, if you will, you guys, starting at verse number 5. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." The book of Luke chapter 7 tells us the same exact story. However, in Luke, it offers different information that Matthew does not contain. When you compile the two accounts, bring them together, the story goes as follows. The centurion has a servant who he loves, sick at the point of death. He then goes to the Jewish elders and leaders and says, hey, can you please speak to Jesus on my behalf for my servant? And so the Jewish elders go to Jesus and they say this to Jesus: Jesus, can you please heal this man's servant? He is worthy of whom you should do this for. He is worthy, they say, because he has built us a synagogue. This brother built us a church. He loves the truth. He built us a church. Please help this man. So Jesus, as usual, when someone calls to him with a needy cry, he gets up immediately and he's on his way to go help the centurion. I will go and heal his servant. And as Jesus is on the way, the centurion's servants report back to the centurion and tell him, hey, Jesus is coming to your house. The centurion immediately tells the servants, go and stop Jesus. Tell him that I'm not worthy that he should enter into my roof. So the servants rush. They go and they tell Jesus, "My master says that he is not worthy that you should enter under his roof." Jesus, hearing this message, apparently ignored it and just kept walking. You see, all the mob and the crowd were surrounding Jesus, so they were slowing him up, and he was reaching and teaching and talking to people along the way, but he still kept going to the centurion's house. Servants came back, said, "Hey, he didn't listen. He's coming back. He's still coming." The centurion says, "Okay, I got to put my boots on, got to get my robe on, and I got to go out and finish the message and talk to Jesus myself." He then goes to Jesus, and he says, "Lord, neither thought I myself worthy, but just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority too. You know, I tell this man to go, he goes. I tell you, come, he comes. I say to another, hey, you go and do this, and he goes and he does it." The Bible says that when Jesus heard that, he marveled. The word marveled means he was in astonishment, amazement. The Bible in Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, John chapter 1, all testify and tell us that Jesus created the heavens and the earth. He created the world. Can you think of the amazing things that are in the galaxies that our telescope, that Hubble telescope cannot see, that we cannot understand? Jesus is the master astronomer, the master mathematician, master scientist. How many amazing and wonderful things has he seen? But yet God was amazed at the faith of a man. The only other time that word is used with Jesus, marveled, is at this situation. He was astonished and amazed at a man. And another time when he was amazed at their unbelief. They didn't believe him. He was so amazed and so astonished that the Bible says that Jesus stopped what he was doing, turned around to everybody else and said, "I haven't found so great faith. No, not like this, not in all of Israel." He turned around to the disciples and all the Jews and said that to them. "Many will come from the east and the west, will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What got me about this situation was that the centurion didn't go to Sabbath school. He didn't grow up in church. He didn't know the church songs that we sung and we sing. He didn't know about the three angels message. He didn't know about the health message. You know what the servant of the Lord says? He was a Gentile. He wasn't even allowed to go to church because he would have defiled the place. He grew up as a pagan. Out there in the world, he was in the street somewhere. He was probably a totally different religion. But yet he had great faith, so great that Jesus says, "I haven't found faith like this in Israel." Now, could it be that Jesus was talking about faith in Israel since the inception of Israel? Since when he wrestled with Jacob and changed his name to Israel? And then after he was in the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, and followed his children of Israel through the wilderness. And what about the times of the kings and the prophets? Jesus was always watching his people. Could it be that he was saying, since the inception of Israel, I have not found so great faith like this man? No, Tarek, that can't be. What about Moses? What about Elijah? They had great faith. But Elijah, Moses, and the prophets of old grew up learning the truth. They grew up going to church. They grew up knowing the stories. This man came from the east and the west, from the outside, and yet his faith was great. And I asked myself, I said, "Lord, how was it, or how is it that this centurion had such great faith?" You know, there's something about the truth, you guys. I don't know if you remember the story in the book of Acts. There was this Ethiopian eunuch. God sent Philip to talk to him. He was reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. He didn't understand. Philip came and explained that that was talking about Jesus. Do you know what the Ethiopian eunuch did right after that? He said, "Hey, there goes some water right there. What's stopping me from getting baptized?" The brother heard one piece of truth. It was like, man, I'm ready to get baptized right now. Do you remember the centurion at the cross after Jesus died? He said, truly, this was the Son of God. Nobody told him that. No Jew, no Israelite said that. But the Lord revealed that to him. How come a centurion, a Gentile, an Ethiopian eunuch, these people who don't go to church, ready to get baptized, ready to see the truth? Do you know that there are millions of people in this world? If you just shared with them Daniel chapter 2, do you remember the image with the gold head, the silver, the brass, and the iron, and you break it down for the history and the kingdoms of the world? Do you know if you share that with people in the world and your neighbors, they're going to be like, wow, you knew that? Of course I knew that. What do you mean, bro? I'm a third generation Adventist. Come on, bro. I've been going to Sabbath school for years, bro. My parents. And guess what, family? I grew up as a Muslim, but I was raised in the church. I'm going to share my testimony with you. I was raised in the church from about age 10 on up. I went to Sabbath school. I was in Pathfinders. I was in the choir. Anybody join the choir? A couple of singers in here. I was in the choir, and I don't even sing. But I was in the choir. I was in church. My mom is a Seventh-day Adventist. My grandmother was a Seventh-day Adventist. So that makes me a third-generation Adventist. Guess what? I went to church, man, hundreds of times. And the first thing that came to my mind is, man, what time is Sabbath over, man? Because I'm about to go play this ball. I'm about to go hang out with my friends or watch TV. When I'm in church, you know what I used to do? We didn't have cell phones back in my day, but I used to draw pictures. I used to always draw pictures and send notes to my brother and just laugh and giggle. Man, I went to church so many times. But it never hit me. I never knew. I didn't care about Christ. And then after my teenage years, I went out into the world. I got addicted to heavy drugs, alcohol. I partied day and night. Darkness destroyed my body, destroyed the lives of others. I finally picked up this Bible, cracked it open, and it cracked my heart. I started to weep and cry because I realized all the destruction I did to myself, seeking for happiness. I ended up destroying myself, and I realized that God's word was true all along. And I realized that I did not have to go through all that. And God was wanting to protect me from day one. And from the truths I learned in Sabbath school and church, all became real to me then. And then I thought to myself, Lord, does it take us for us to be in darkness to appreciate the light? Does it take for us to be like a Gentile from somewhere else who didn't grow up in a church for us to appreciate the truth? My brother went to this cave. It was super dark. It had stalactites and stalagmites. He said, man, Tarek, I put my hand in front of my face. It was so pitch black. I couldn't even see it. And after a while of being in that dark cave, what do you think happened to my brother when he finally got out high noon in the sunlight? His eyes were like this. He couldn't even see. It was so bright because he was in that darkness. You know, when I came out of drugs and alcohol and all that stuff, hadn't been in the church for over 10 years, and I cracked open the Bible and I started to read the truths of the Word of God, man, when I went to church, all the pastor had to say is, and Jesus said, I'm like, what did Jesus say? I got tears coming out of my eyes. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, do you know who is talking with you? And he says, Lord, I don't know. He says, who is the Son of God? It is he that is talking with you and he that you're looking at right now. Lord, I believe. And I'm like, wow. Did you just hear what the pastor said? I got tears coming out of my eye. I said, Jesus is the Son of God. I'm so excited in church. And I turn around to my right and I see brother so-and-so over there falling asleep. I turn around to my left and I see sister so-and-so. She's like, looking mad. I'm like, whoa, maybe she's just having a bad day. I turn around behind me. I'm like, nobody's listening to the pastor. I turn around. Everybody's on their cell phone. People are laughing and sleeping. And I said, wow. I said, Lord, what happens when you're in the light for such a long time? Your eyes get adjusted. I said, could it be that we've been in the light for such a long time that our eyes get adjusted? And there are people all around the world. Why is it that the church is booming in Africa, in Asia, in other parts of the world? 17 million Adventists outside the United States, but the United States. I said, could it be that we're sitting on a gold mine and we don't even know it? I asked God about the story. I said, what is it? How is it? I need answers, Lord. How did this guy have faith? Because I want to have it. Then I started to think, maybe because he was a centurion. I did some research on a centurion. You know, in order to be a centurion, you had to be a legionnaire in the Roman army for at least 5 years. You had to prove your worth by merit. You had to be valiant in battle. Had to be a man that can police yourself, police others, discipline, know how to handle yourself. And then after 5 years of good service, you receive a recommendation. And if you are worthy, you get nominated to be a centurion. Now, a centurion leads the soldiers in the front rank of the formation. So if I'm the centurion, I'm in the front. I got a different helmet, different armor. I look different. My soldiers are next to me. If you guys are the enemy and you're facing us, my army, who would you come and kill first? Me. I'm standing out like a sore thumb. I look different. The mortality rate for a centurion was high. And I said, Lord, is this the answer? Could it be because a centurion, he didn't talk the talk, but he walked the walk. He was a man of action. He led from the front. And Jesus was a man of action. He led from the front. But then I said, you know what? I'm pretty sure the Pharisees, there were some of them who were workers and leaders too. I said, what could be the answer, Lord? Why is it that he had so much faith? It's interesting to note that the servant of God says this about the centurion. He was in the house, did not even see Jesus, but he was able to discern from afar off the glory of the Son of God. Hold on a second. Hold on a second here. He was in the house, did not see Jesus physically, did not hear him give a parable, but he knew he was the Son of God. He knew he was the Savior and friend of mankind. While the Jews were walking right next to Jesus, the disciples were right next to Jesus, and they were saying, hey, can you show us a sign? This guy's in the house, and I know who he is. Not only that, the Jews said, he is worthy of whom you should come and heal his servant. You know what the centurion said to Jesus? Master, I am unworthy. I said, Lord, this is confusing me even more. How is he in the house, knowing that Jesus is the Son of God? He's not next to him. He didn't even see Jesus. This is confusing me even more. The servant of God says that when he's in the house, all he heard was the teachings of Jesus through someone else, and everything that was spiritual in him responded to Jesus' words. Oh, that's Jesus. He's the Son of God. I know who that is. And he's in the house. How did he have that vision? How did he have that faith? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. We're going to get some answers. 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to look at verse 10. We're going to take a trip through the Bible and get our answers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible reads, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. The Bible here is saying that because they received not a love of the truth, they were sent a delusion. A love of the truth gives you vision, but having not a love of the truth, you will be deluded. Now listen to this. John chapter 18. Go with me to John chapter 18. We're going to be looking at the Bible here. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And look at verse 37. Love of the truth, you receive vision. John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. If you are of the truth, you will hear Christ's voice. If you have a love of the truth, you will see and not be deluded. Now let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Flip back a few pages. John chapter 8. And let's look at verse 31. John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, if you keep my word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Keep his word, become a disciple, you will know the truth. Keep his word, you will have knowledge. You will know something. Keep his word, you will know truth. Are we seeing that? You keep God's word, you will know something. Look at John chapter 7 and verse 17. We're going to wrap this up. John chapter 7, verse 17. The Bible says this. If any man will do his will, whose will is that? That's God's will. He shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So if there's someone teaching a certain doctrine, Jesus says, if you will do God's will, you're going to know if that doctrine is just from Tarek or it's from God. And only if you do God's will, you're going to have that knowledge of the teaching. If you do God's word, you will know the truth. If you have a love for the truth, you will not be deluded. So this is what I'm saying, family. The centurion didn't go to Sabbath school. He didn't go to church like everybody else. He didn't know all the messages that we know. But the little bit of truth that he did know, he obeyed and executed the will of God in his life. James says, blessed is the man that not only hears the word of God, but is a doer of the word of God. Because the doer of the word will be blessed in his deed. The doer experiences the blessing. The doer experiences the knowledge. The doer experiences the perception and discernment. Psalms 19 says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So we can know Genesis to Revelation. You can know the spirit of prophecy from front to back. But if you do not do the will of God, you will be blind. But that's all fine and dandy, Tarek. What about the children of the kingdom? He was still a Gentile. He still came in from the outside, but what about us? What can we do to keep that vision, to have that faith, so we won't get adjusted to the light, so we can appreciate what we have? What can we do as the children of the kingdom? Because Jesus says many are going to come from the outside and sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the people of his own church are going to be cast out into outer darkness. There was an old man, older man, he decided to take a walk out in the woods. It was snowing. And as he was walking early morning for a stroll, all of a sudden, he didn't check the weather, the snow started to drop heavier and heavier. Next thing you know, he was caught in this blizzard. And he started to get a little fearful, but he said, you know what, I can make it home. You know, his pride was kicking in, and he kept walking in the woods deeper and deeper. And before you know it, his visibility was very low. And he was lost, and he was stranded in the woods in a blizzard. Hours went by. He couldn't feel his face. His fingers and toes were numb. And his bones were aching. And as he's trudging through the snow, his heart is sinking because he's starting to lose hope. I don't know if I can make it. More hours go by. Next thing you know, he's starting to give up now. I can't do it. Apologizing to his loved ones in his mind, asking for God for guidance, but it's not working. Finally, he sees a tree. And he says, I'm just going to camp out under that tree, and I'm going to die. And so he walks to that tree. But as he's making it to that tree, and in the corner of his eye, he sees something flicker. He turns around and he sees a hand twitching in the snow. And he can't believe his eyes. Is that a human hand in there? He digs the snow around from that hand, and man, it's a guy in there. And he's still alive. And he pulls the guy out, dusts him off, picks his arm up, puts it around his neck, and the two of them start walking through the snow. Matter of fact, early the next morning, as he sat by the fireplace, he thought about the day's events. He said, you know what? I was ready to die. I was about to give up on life if it hadn't been for that hand twitching in the snow. You see, when I found that other guy about to die, all of a sudden I got zeal, I got fire, I got energy, and I picked him up. We made it together because of him, because I saved his life. It ended up saving my life. And that's why I'm here. Children of the kingdom, there are millions of hands twitching in the snow all around you. And you will find that when you seek to save them, you will save yourself. Do you know what Jesus says in Isaiah 43? He says that you are my witnesses. Yes, they're from the east and they're from the west, but you are my special witnesses. I have drawn you close to my bosom. You guys are my ambassadors representing the kingdom of heaven, not the Gentiles. It is your mission to spread my love and my truth to them. You know what it says in Isaiah chapter 43? He says, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am he. Why did he say that? Not just so you can save people. This is what it says in verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am he, that you may know, you may understand, and you may believe that I am he. God says you are my witnesses so you can know, so you can understand, so you can believe who I am. Proverbs chapter 11 says this, you guys. He that watereth shall himself also be watered. If you find yourself dry spiritually, are you watering someone else? If you're in church and things are getting boring and dry and you can't wait till Sabbath's over, ask yourself, are you helping and ministering to others? Because that fire will return to your heart. This has always been the assignment of the children of the kingdom. It's so we can know who he is. We can understand. We can believe. And we can make him marvel. I have not found so great faith. No, not in the rest of the departments at Korean Cab Meeting, only here. I have not found so great faith that I have found in this room and all the world. Let Jesus marvel at your faith and put it to action. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the word. I thank you, Lord, for the example. I thank you, Lord, that you have called the children of the kingdom for a special mission. The most important and highest mission and profession that any human being can ever dream of having. You've given it to us. Help us, Lord, to appreciate and to understand the gravity of this mission that you've given us. Give us the zeal, Lord, and a hunger for those around us. And for other souls, let us be doers of the word and let our light shine to those in darkness and gather them to your wonderful light. We thank you, God, for your spirit and truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.